Hello, I'm Floyd Miller, the host of It's Everything West Texas, and I mean everything. Some of our topics are going to make you laugh, and some will make you cry. I guarantee you all of them will make you think. It is the podcast that highlights people and issues in West Texas. As a neighbor, we want to talk with you. The goal is not necessarily to get agreement, but it is about understanding. Subscribe today and never miss another podcast.
Come on.
Hello, my name is Floyd Miller, and I am the host of It's Everything West Texas. Today we have a very interesting program. One thing I like about West Texas, there are jewels all over West Texas. Mm-hmm. There are interesting stories. And today we have a very interesting story. We're going to be talking about the first African-American black man to play in a state basketball championship on an integrated team in Austin, Texas. In just a minute, I'll come back and tell you who that individual is. And we also have the author of a book, and I'll tell you more about that book. Today, this podcast is being brought to you by the West Texas Tribune, real news, local news at westtexastribune.org and Floyd Miller Investments at floydmillerinvestments.com. Well, now I'm going to tell you about the book and the individuals that are in the studio. The name of the book is Bubba Ephraim, Black Texas Basketball Trailblazer. And in the studio, we have Bubba Ephraim. Hello, Bubba. Welcome to the program today.
Bubba.
And also, we have Mr. Garner Roberts, who is the author of this book. Welcome, Garner.
Thank you, sir. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm so happy to have both of you here. This is a very interesting book. I have not completed it yet, but between what I read in the book and being at the book signing the other day, I've got quite a few questions, and I got to know where this book is going. But first of all, Mr. Roberts, I want to ask you, why did you write this book?
Oh, it's a story that needs to be told, frankly. Bubba is kind of his story up until now has been kind of an untold story. And in fact, his primary achievement being the first black player in the UIL state tournament, basketball tournament in Austin, is an unknown. He's overlooked. In fact, another more popular athlete, more well-known athlete, has gotten credit for making that achievement in 1960, where Bubba was there in 1957. So after I met him, we didn't immediately start on the book project. I did a newspaper article. Bubba got inducted into the Prairie View Interscholastic League Coaches Association Hall of Fame. And then sometime later, and I don't remember exactly, we were talking and meeting for lunch, and I said, Bubba, we can make this into a book. And so for about the last 8 years, I've been conducting interviews, reading newspaper microfilm, talking to his coaches, his teammates, and to get his story told. It's very interesting, a compelling story, and I'm happy right now the way it's turned out. I'm pleasantly pleased and surprised.
Well, you did a wonderful job on the book. I just went back through looking at some of the research you did. And so you did some pretty in-depth research on this.
I found newspaper articles of virtually every one of Bubba's games, the 2 years he played at Pickles High School. And I did some other research to educate myself on the times in the 50s and court cases and integration, segregation, desegregation, and so I could speak somewhat knowledgeably about those topics in that period of time and what all was going on then.
Okay, well, we'll have some more questions for you a little later, but Bubba, tell me about your life. What was it like growing up? We want to talk about that before we get to the state championship. What was life like?
Well, life then was most of the kids that we was in our early teen years, we had little integrated teams in Pawnee League, Little League, and stuff like that, you know. That was put on by the Lions Club and in the city there. And we all had a chance to meet these guys and play basketball, football, baseball with them. And that was really the start of it, you know. And we never did, although we didn't have them at our school in Carlin, but we mingled with them in those little Tina League games.
Okay. I want to go back, even back a little further. Tell me a little bit about your growing up, your mother, your father. Did you have brothers and sisters?
Oh, yeah.
Where did you go to school?
Well, I started the school in Val Marais, Texas, and I laugh at whenever I think about it, you know, because of the script that I saw in a movie. Well, your main character was talking about Mexican rights, and they told him, so, well, that was a fire. And the school burned down, and those papers burned up. Well, that's what we got when we got to when we contact Val Marais School to try to find out to get the records, And they said that was a fire, and maybe the papers got burned up.
Okay, so you didn't have any records there. So, I read in the book a little bit about you playing basketball. What was the name of the school that you went to before integration?
Carver. George Washington Carver.
And this was in Pecos, Texas?
In Pecos, yes, sir.
Okay. What was it like going to a segregated school? What was school like over there, George Washington Carver?
Well, yeah, well, George Washington Carver, it was a good school. And just like we knew everybody, you know, and Prof. Coach Sattler and his wife, Billy Kay, when they came to Pecos, well, they came there with strict rules and regulations and taught us those principles. And then he organized a basketball team. And there we were out there. When I first saw him, gee, he looked like he was a giant. And he had us out there on this little collegiate court with a goal up against a telephone post. And he looked up and he said, son, you know what this is? He was reaching me a basketball. And gee, man, it looked like the world and he was reaching to me. And I told him, I said, I don't think I said anything. Just closed my eyes and took it. He said, go ahead and put it up in that goal. I went up there, and I don't know what happened after then. I must have just closed my eyes and gave it to somebody else and went on and got back in line. But we were all little tops then, you know. So after a few years, I guess a few months had passed, you know, we was all out there. Throwing it, getting it up to the goal, whether it went in or not. But we were learning the rules and the regulations and the principles of the game. And from that steam, they are wildcats. Carver Wildcats.
Okay.
And my brother and some of the older guys, they was on the, they was the varsity. And I can remember, it looked like every time we play a game, other little teams, the other teams would just be just running over us, just running over us, running over us. Until we got together, Prop got us together and talked to us. And start teaching us game. Five-man weave, the three-man weave. These different plays that you set up and learn that you develop your plays off them. And man, he had got us so that we could run those plays. The figure eight, what they call a three-man weave and a five-man weave. We could run those plays blindfold. And we knew where we were at all times on the court.
Okay, so Prof gave you those basic skills that you needed.
Yes, sir.
And so when integration came, what was your feelings about integrating and leaving Carver and going to play at Pecos High?
Really, we all thought the same way. For as I love for the sport and our ability to play the sport, it was a step down. Because Prop had us, we could pass any way we're behind our back, you know, fake to the right, and I fake to the left, and pass to the right, or vice versa. Bounce pass, lob pass. We knew exactly what to do on fast breaks and stuff. But when we got to Pecos High, the coach there, he didn't like that. Because our pattern of play and everything was taken from, you know, observing the Harlem Globetrotters.
Okay.
And watching them. Now, who could beat them? Could nobody beat them.
Right.
And so we developed that style of play. And he assigned Goose Tatum, Marcus Haynes to Willie Lee Wright, you know, Jarvis Johnny Wilson to Eddie Lynn Walker, all of these guys that played for the Harlem Globetrotters, well, he gave us one of them as an assignment. And I practiced everything that I saw Greece do until it came to me one day that this guy, I had been shooting pool, and we said, one of the old guys in the pool hall said, study the science of the game, man. It's right there before you. Then we start noticing the marks on the side of the pool table. So well, if that's the science of the game, they say, yeah. And I thought about basketball. I said, that's why reasoning is so good. Because they studied, the Harlem Globetrotters studied the science of the game. And they could pass to each other wherever they were. They knew where they were supposed to be.
All right. Well, you mentioned the science of the game. So it seemed like that is something that you all really had down. Because I think when you all were at Carver, you went to Prairie View a couple of times, but stayed a couple of times. So what was it as a young black man going to Pecos High? Did you ever think about that, or was it a smooth transition? What was that like?
It was a smooth transition.
Okay.
And it was kind of tough because of the fact that we were 10 years behind in our books. we would get the hand-me-down books from the Pecos High from the 40s. And here we are in the 50s. And they told us about, you know, to expect this. And told us that we're going to have to really, 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 really buckle down and study to be able to keep up academically with the flow with the students up there.
Okay, so the transition, you didn't have any at Pecos High, people accepted you. You didn't have any
racial discrepancies over there.
Okay, well, that's good back in
I guess mainly because we knew some of the, you know, we all grew up together before the school was integrated.
Oh, okay.
We played on these little teams together, and we all knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guys would come by my house. I lived right across, right down, right next to one of the baseball fields that we practiced and played at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after practice at a game, well, they'd come over to my house and pour some tea or something like that, you know, or some water. I remember my sister once getting on her knees with a broom, reaching up under the bed to drink out one of those jars that we had as she washed out and cleaned up to get him a cool glass and put some ice in it to get him a cool glass of water.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But they never said, nobody ever thought about, said nothing about that or nothing funny about that. That was just the way it was.
Okay, I'm gonna pivot here to Garner again. Garner, maybe you can take us to the state. But first, talk to us a little bit about some of those games that Bubba was in before leading up to state. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I'll backtrack a tiny bit. While he was at Carver, he went with Coach Sadler's teams twice to the PVIL state championship, the state tournament at Prairie View University. And so by the time he got to Pecos High School, he'd already been to the state tournament twice. So he had an advantage in experience. He played at Pecos High School 2 years. The first year, they tied for the district championship. And back in those days, unlike it is now, only one school from each district made the playoffs, where now you have several. And so they had a one-game playoff, and the Pecos Eagles lost that one game, so they did not make the playoffs that Bubba's first year at Pecos High School. The second year, they won the district championship, which was the first time Pecos High School had ever won the district championship outright in basketball. And so they made the playoffs. They made the regional tournament in Lubbock at Texas Tech. They won the regional tournament, and that gave them the right to play in Austin as one of four teams that made the state tournament at Gregory Gymnasium on the campus of the University of Texas.
Okay, so now you've won. You are ready to go to state. Now, as Garner said, you'd already been to state twice at Prairie View, but how did it feel? What was the atmosphere like, not only with you, but the people from Pecos High, when y'all knew they were going to state maybe for the first time, I guess?
We was happy about that. And I guess when I got there was with the weather, with the ooh and ah was. Because when we walked in the gym, you know, when we stepped on the court, and boy, it was packed. And I heard sound like it was every tornado or hurricane that came through Texas. Looked like they had met there. And boy, and I'm talking about in full force. I remember I never did hear my name called right. Not one time. They were making all kind of African sounds, even shipping sounds and stuff like that. Some of them, I think, come in there with some little drums trying to beat, you know, make the African music. But every time they'd pass the ball to me, I could hear them. Kill him, you know, all kind of stuff. It was so bizarre till the first and the second quarter, I remember, the dean had to come out and he had to talk to those people at the University of Texas and ask them, so how do you expect, these are the future players for your our teams. We look at Warburton, some of them coming after high school to come to college in our school. Say, but what do you think they're going to think? How you expect them to come from the way that you're treating them down here? So he had to call the maintenance man about three or four times, once or twice each quarter. Stop the game to put those big dust maps together and walk all the way down to the other end of the gym and bank it up against the wall. And each time they had about a foot high, about 2 foot out away from the wall of debris that was tossed out on the floor. And I remember going down the floor, and I was hit with the ball on my side there. And as I passed by, one of them, I think it was a men's room or something over there. But a piece of tissue paper saturated in something. That flashing up against my skin, my black skin. And I kept on in and made the layup. And when I was coming back down the field, it fell off. And I thanked God for tears. Because that's, the tears, for sweat. I thank God for sweat because the sweat that was running off my face, down my face, hit, blended in with my tears and ran and fell off. It fell off my chin, you know.
Let's stop you just a minute and ask you a question. When you heard that kill him, kill him, kill him, and got hit with that tissue, did you ever think about stopping, going back to the locker room? What was going through your head at that time?
That was what I think the foundation of my thoughts to endure this was the conversation that Coach Sadler had told me. He told me it wasn't going to be easy. It was going to be rough. That's why he would wish that he could have taken my place. And he knew it, but he didn't know how I was going from there until I went back to school. After the coach and I had this little clash at Pecos High now.
Okay, how did the game end?
The game ended with me scoring 30 points for the Pegasus Eagles. And after that, you know, we went to a restaurant for dinner. And they didn't accept me there They told me they couldn't, they told the coach that they didn't serve, you know, black people there. So I told him, go ahead and get the guys up and eat and let them go and sit down and eat. But they could serve me mine on the bus. And Billy Jim Simmons brought two plates out, one for himself and one for me. And we sat on the bus and ate.
That first game, excuse me for interrupting, the semifinal game on that Friday night in Austin in March of 57, Pecos defeated Nacogdoches in the semifinal. Bubba scored 30 points, and which earned them the right to play in the championship game the next night against Smiley High School from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So you had the... attracted a lot of attention that the Gregory Gym seated 7,500 people and it was full. So you had the first black player at the UIL state tournament, and then you also had the first 7-foot player at the UIL state tournament. Houston Smiley had a young man named Lewis Qualls who later played at Texas A&M. So you had quite a match in the championship game, quite an attractive game. It attracted attention and a lot of fans.
Oh, 7 foot. How did you deal with a 7-footer?
I said, well, I know he was up there. And Prop had already taught us the importance of conditioning. And I had strong legs, and I could spring high. So I had to, a couple of times down the court there, and Lewis would jump to shoot. And I'd go up in between his arms with my fingertips, just enough to deflect the ball. And when he shot, the ball would probably roll back over his hand. I'd hit him and stop it from going in and play up. So I had to figure that out, that strategy, in order to be able to stop him. And it worked. And Coach Coach Kennan, he thought so sure that we were gonna have a victory over Smiley till he called us aside. I don't know. He probably know coaches, he know what's going on there. He called us aside and he told us, he said, Bubba, said they're giving away some good scholarships here. And if anybody gives one, I want it to be Billy Jim Simmons. He's going off to college this year. He's a senior this year. And if you ever go to, he said, but you'll be lucky if you ever pass by a college, not let alone go to one.
Mm.
So he said, pass that ball to Billy Jim Simmons. If you shoot one time, you're going to have your behind over here beside me. So I went back into the game, and I didn't. They'd pass to Royce Castle, or Wayne Watson would pass the ball in to me, and I would fake. When I saw I could Qualls out, I roll and come up to the goal and I pass the ball over the goal to Billy Jim over in the corner over there. Now, Billy Jim had gotten hurt before in the original tournament in Lubbock. It take. But I don't know why the coach played him. because he was not up to that type of competition. So he just wore him down. Hmm. One of the fellas I met, remember Turk? Turk asked me again. He's Louis, son, I just wonder. I think it was Turk that asked me at this one of the book signings. What I can see is why would Billy Jim on his hands and knees? See, he looked so funny out there, just walking around on his hands and knees. And we had to call time out so he could come out, so he could kind of rest. His knees and his legs had just given out on him. And it was really embarrassing. But the Kennel, or Coach Kennel, would not substitute him. And then he told me, I started back shooting. And he called time out. And he told me again to pass the ball to Simmons. I said, okay. And I would get the ball and I'd drive around. And R.C. Christopher would say, now, Chris wasn't there. Yes, he was. He was the only other black in the gym. And he was sitting right down from us. He said, Bubba says, shoot the ball so you're wide open. And I looked at him, you know, and smiled. I told him, I know it. But he just couldn't understand. He didn't know what Kenner had told me. So he went to touch me on the arm, telling me that I was open. So Kenner came at him with his fist balled up. And he jumped up and he told Kenner, he put his up. He said, if you touch me, I'll blouse your eye, just like that.
Wow.
And he told me, get on the back over here. You know, mess with my team. So the game started back, and then I made a play. They passed the ball to me, and I made a play, and I passed it to Billy over there, and Billy, they got the ball and went down and made 2 points. So they come back made 2 points, and they were coming back, and they asked me, Royce Castle, Beckham for me up front. And I went out and I asked him, you know. He said, now he asked me, he said, Bubba, he said, what was that Kenner told you, said it to you over there? And I told him what verbatim, you know, what he had said. He said, what? I said, yeah. So he called him in. And Kenner had said, we got one more time out. And I will take that. Don't you call no time out. I will take that. Okay. So here, when I told Royce what he said, Royce said, BS, you know. And Royce called timeout. He called to the referee and said timeout. And by that time, about two or three of them rushed in and tried to hit the ball out of his hand. But they tied it up. And the coach said, the referee said that no more timeouts for Pecos. And Royce told other Peckham for the other guys to come in. So they was all discombobulated. They didn't know who to go to. Because Kenner was standing up over there yelling and beckoning. And Royce was on the floor. And I was on the floor. And I think Eugene was on the floor. About two or three of us were still standing on the floor beckoning for the other players to come to us. And when they came, I remember someone doing his hand like this, and what's going on? Who shall we go to, and stuff like that. So they all got over there. And Roger said, you know what Kenneth told Bubba? Why he haven't been shooting? They passed the ball to Billy Jim Simmons. They're giving away some good scholarships here, and if anybody get one, he want Billy Jim Simmons to get it. And when they said that, boys, Simmons himself even frowned on it. Why, we're not down here to play for no one individual, and stuff like that. So we're down here to play for the school. And by that time, I felt a hit on my leg. And it was Frank Vodkas. Coach said, go ahead and take your place. He watched. And he was over there begging for me to come. And so one of them told him, so Frank listened to us and said, no offense, something like that, but get on back out of here because ain't nobody coming out. We started this thing together. We're going to finish it.
Okay, so you all lost the game. It appears that maybe the coach lost this game.
That's right.
So you've mentioned a couple of incidents that I think would have kind of set most people on fire, would have really aggravated them a whole lot. And you're here talking about this today, I know it's been quite a few years since this happened, but talking about it in a very pretty much calm way, probably calmer than a lot of people would be that it dealt with that type of situation. I'm going to go back to Garner for a minute. Garner, what is it that you would hope when people pick up this book and read it, what would you hope that they would take away from it?
Well, I hope it creates a more unified society, I'll put it that way, simply, and we learn more about each other and what we've gone through to get where we are today. And more studying those court cases that I did that were going on back in the day, it just some of that was incredible. I can't imagine it, those things happening. I was a small child back in those times and wasn't aware of some of these things going on. For instance, I'll tell one quick story. The 1954 Supreme Court decision, Brown versus Board of Education, was in Topeka, Kansas. It was five cases rolled into one. One of those cases was in Virginia. And so the Supreme Court decided that unanimously that, segregation is unconstitutional. And so school districts, a few places already had segregated school districts, but that meant that all of them should have black children and white children and all other children going to school together. One of those five counties whose case came before the Supreme Court, they actually closed their school district for 5 years rather than have to integrate their school. So things like that were going on. It's just unbelievable to me today. And I think Bubba's story and those kinds of stories, people need to know about them.
So if Bubba was the first black man to play in a state championship game that was integrated, I'm going to assume that maybe Pecos was one of the first schools in the state to integrate? Where was it?
Yes, sir. In Texas, so that was May of 54. That very fall, only one school in the state integrated fall of 55. The next year, fall of 54, a few months after the May Supreme Court decision. So in the 54-55 school year, there was only one school that integrated in the state. The next year, fall of 55, spring of 56, Pecos was one of about 60 schools, best I could determine, that actually had some degree of integration. But what Pecos did, and I read school board minutes, the school board in Pecos voted to integrate the high school first. And so most other schools of those 60 in the state, they integrated Black children in the first grade, and then those children moved up the next year to second grade and then to third grade and so on up the ladder. So it meant that in all those cities, it took 9 years for Black children to be in high school, whereas at Pecos, they integrated high school first. So all of a sudden, Pecos has Black children in high school, Black teenagers in high school in Pecos, Texas.
Oh, that's really interesting. Baba, if you were talking with young men and women today, Black, Hispanic, white, Asian, whatever the Indian, whatever the background might be, what would you be saying to them, a man of wisdom, somebody, what are you in your 80s now?
Age of six.
86. What would you say to the younger crowd today?
I would say, don't let your feelings control your emotions. You're on the floor or you're playing the sport for one reason only. You got an integrated team, you play integrated ball. You pay for your team, not for yourself, and not for no other body. Play just for two Blacks on the team, pass the ball back and forth to them, you're not going to win nothing. That's a losing route. I would tell them to play for the love of the team, of the game, for the team.
Thank you. I think that's so appropriate on two levels, what you just said. I mean, we are in the middle of the Olympics, and I know there are some individual sports, but there are also team sports. And you can just see how those teams pull for one another, just
yes,
like what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there may be something even bigger than that, and that's Team America. I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
we are in a time right now where I don't know what is dividing us. It appears that it's everything, race, ideas, all kinds of things, but I think what you just said resonates very well. Play for the team. Garner, do you have any thoughts on that same subject, if you would share something with people?
Yeah, you mentioned about the Olympics. There's been some incredible examples of athletes from different nations coming together and showing that same spirit,
right,
and not only respecting your teammates and playing for your team, but respecting your opponent and doing what's right and showing sportsmanship and being competitive and trying to win, but doing it in the right way.
Yes, yes.
Well, I thank both of you gentlemen for being here today. This is a story that we need to hear. It shows resilience. It shows character. I think it shows best of what we're about. And I'll let you have another comment there. Yes, sir.
I noticed by watching the Olympics, I've noticed the black and white players, they have accomplished gold medals and silver medals. When they play their national anthem, they put the camera on their faces, and you can see the embarrassment. They don't even know the words.
You don't.
To the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a criteria. To participate there, if you don't even make a medal, if you don't even win a medal, but to know just in case you win one, you're standing before the world. And they play your national anthem, you should know it.
Amen.
Absolutely. Well, I think this is probably a good place to stop, but I would encourage individuals to get a copy of the book and read it. It is,
thank you, sir.
It is inspiring. Thank y'all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Everything West Texas is a production of KACU and is sponsored by the West Texas Tribune and Floyd Miller Investments. Securities and investment advisory services offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. FSC is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products or services referenced here are independent of FSC. Floyd Miller can be reached at 3300 South 14th Street, Suite 100 in Abilene, Texas, 325-676-0138. I'm Floyd Miller, your host. Subscribe today.